Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Yes, this is Harvey Wireman, one of the many characters that Phil Hendry does on his radio broadcast. People can't believe that other people would call in thinking they're talking to a real human being and not Phil Hendry doing a character. But it's true. So, I gotta go.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Boy, what a weird couple of weeks. Weird and tragic. A mother of three kills her children and herself in a murder-suicide in Jacksonville, North Carolina. You heard about what happened, of course, in Houston, the woman drowning her children. And then a father, apparently, responsible for killing his kids. The legal... Where's the story, Mike, on the guy, on the father? Oh, okay. Police finally shot a man after he stabbed his three young sons, killing two of them, as their mother watched. This was in Syracuse, New York. Like, really sad stuff. Roland Schwinn is the headmaster of Manor Academy that's in Dana Point, which is a rather exclusive school, and we appreciate you being on with us, Mr. Schwinn, to talk about it and to talk about how we can prevent this phenomenon. And a lot of it, I guess, has to do with summer months and other things, correct?
Indeed, Phil. I don't think there's been a better time for year, than now for year-round schooling. And I think that with these very tragic circumstances, the deaths, the murders of these children, the question really needs to be asked, has there ever been a better time for year-round schooling? The longer children stay in school and away from their parents, the better their chances are of staying alive until Labor Day.
Well, why? Okay. This has to do with parents and the proximity of children in the home?
Yes.
How so?
Well, a parent's inclination to kill a child is partially born from a sense that they may not be getting a return on their investment. Now, you spend almost $250,000 on raising children from birth to the year 18. June rolls around. You get, and believe me, Phil, I've seen this with parents that I've spoken with. June will roll around, and you get a look at the report cards from the preceding school year, and what are you looking at? If the grades are good,
right,
you see a child who you begin thinking that perhaps is achieving more than you, and you become jealous.
If the kid's grades are good, the parent becomes jealous.
Many do, yes. And if the grades are bad, then you begin thinking you're being taken for a ride.
And by ride, what do you mean?
You're spending, I know, at Manor Academy, the average tuition is $9,000 a year.
That's in a private school.
Yes. You spend that kind of money on a kid and he comes home with bad grades, you think someone's taking you for a joyride. And it's not anything that I think parents suffer very, very well.
All right, what does all of this have to do with summer vacation, though?
Well, when you couple all of that with the fact that they are in your face for 3 months straight, that's like putting a match to a can of gasoline. So the summer months, Phil, become the American version of Cambodia's killing fields without all of the historical romance.
So parents are killing their kids not from depression or postnatal baby blues or a simple psychosis?
No, parents are killing their children because more and more they get what raising a child is all about, a very large expenditure of money, loss of freedom, the possibility of being socially lower than them when they do succeed, or you're being taken for a ride. In my own life, and I've been an educator for 30 years, I have...
Let me interrupt you. It's hard for me to imagine a parent looking at a kid's report card and thinking the kid is taking them for a ride, which basically says the kid's getting bad grades on purpose just to see how much money they can suck out of mom and dad for an education.
That is the thinking, yes.
No, but do you think the kids are doing that?
No, I don't think the children are doing that. I think when you put out that kind of money, you want to see some return on the investment.
But when the kid comes home with good grades, then the parent's jealous.
Yes, many parents are jealous. Let me give you an example, Phil, from my experience.
See, that sounds weird.
Let me give you an example from my experience. I have a mid-level administrative job at a variety of schools. Now here comes my son, who got a job in a medical research department at UCLA. He has a chance to make some real strides. And when I heard about this, I have to tell you, it sort of pissed me off.
That you had been a mid-level educator, administrator?
Mid-level administrator education. My son works in the research department. Why was I slaving at this dead-end job while my son is poised to tear it up in higher education, and I had to deal with this?
Well, you're telling me then you thought of killing your own son?
I'm not saying I thought of killing him, but when it got bad, I remember driving. I'll tell you where I was. It was about 2 years ago. He had gotten this job at UCLA. I was driving toward the beach, and I remember, Phil, as if it was yesterday, my hand on the door handle. And I was speeding toward a bend in the road. And below that bend was a good 500-foot drop until you hit a dry river bottom. And I still remember thinking, you can open the door, you can jump out, and he goes sailing over the side.
You thought of killing your own son that way.
I felt that, and thank God I didn't act on it.
But you were thinking about opening the door and jumping out of your own car? I mean...
Phil, I'm telling you what I felt, and thank God, because it isn't the kid's fault. It was my inability to deal with his success.
Roland Schwinn is an educator, if you'll pardon me for a moment, Roland.
Certainly.
He's an educator, and he says that one of the reasons why kids are getting killed is it's the summertime, there's a lot of proximity between parent and kid, and the parent is reminded of how much money they're spending on the kid. And it's making them kill their kids, is essentially what you're saying.
Yes. Yes, in some cases, yes it is.
Let's take these specific cases. The woman who drowns all five of her kids, the man who stabbed his kids, and the woman who... killed herself and her kids.
Yes.
These parents, you're telling me, school's out, summer vacation.
Kids up in your face for 3 months. You looked at a report card that was bad. You looked at a report card that was good. You see that the kid may be more successful. You see that the kid's taking you financially for a ride. I'm telling you, I thought about leaping out of my own car.
And sending your kid to a fiery death over a cliff.
That is exactly right.
Well, you mentioned being taken for a ride. Is that the other side of it, Roland, being taken for a ride?
Yeah, my daughter's a great example of that. We sent her to private school. We paid for tutors. We paid for extra classes. I got to look at a report card, and there she is pulling a 2-0, and I suddenly realize she was taking me for a joyride, spending my money, hanging on the phone, going out with her girlfriends, or this guy she knows who has a motorcycle, and I thought about just a little tap with a crescent wrench.
A tap with a crescent wrench.
Yeah, I was unclogging a drain in her bathroom. And I remember she was standing there with her back to me. And I remember thinking, just a tap. And my problems...
But it's none of these kids' fault.
That is correct.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. A unique view into children, education, and perhaps domestic violence with Roland Schwinn, who's the headmaster of a private school in Dana Point. And he himself has admitted to having these feelings toward his kids that, well, it's summertime, they're in my face, it's summertime, they got bad grades, they got good grades, why am I spending my money, why are they taking me for a ride? This is something, I wanted to ask you something. The kid who does well because of the jealous parent, okay, how do you save them? How do you protect them?
Well, I think, Phil, it keeps the child from overachieving. It keeps the child overachieving out of your face, and it's a lot better than them constantly being there. The bottom line is parents and kids are spending too much time together.
That's what you think.
That is correct.
You know, it used to be, Mr. Schwinn, it used to be that they complained because parents and kids weren't spending enough time together.
That's correct. And now they're finding out that that's an invitation to horror. I've never been a big fan of Bush and his family value crusade, and I never will be, because all that togetherness is making the parents jealous, suffocated, angry, and they feel cheated.
What is the message for kids?
Well, I think the message for children is two things. Do well in school, otherwise your parents are going to get the idea that you're taking them for a ride, and they'll get angry. And then if you do well, stop with running through the door, waving the report card of their test, and saying, look at what I did. Look at how good I am. Because that pisses parents off, too. And there's a little poem that you can recite to yourself if you get angry. And you as a parent, when a child runs through the door,
And certainly children are going to run through the door with a good report card.
Absolutely. And it pisses, and I know it could piss off a parent.
It's difficult for me to imagine a parent that gets angry at a kid with a good report card, but they're jealous.
They're jealous, yes. Roses are red, violets are blue, what am I mad about? And just like that, your anger has dissipated. But let's keep working for year-round schools. I believe it'll save lives.
All right, headmaster of the Banner Academy in Dana Point, Roland Schwinn. Kids are dying, they're being murdered by their parents because they're doing either too well or too poorly in school. And it's summertime, and they're up in their parents' faces, and nobody can deal with anybody. I can understand maybe a parent getting upset with a kid who brings home a bad report card, but bringing home a good report card, one would think a parent would be overjoyed with. Mr. Schwinn says that makes a parent jealous. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
With Roland Schwinn, the headmaster of Manor Academy, we're talking about these children being murdered by their parents this summer. Are you saying that year-round, let me ask you this, Mr. Schwinn, are you the headmaster of a year-round school?
Yes, I am.
Manor Academy's year-round?
Yes, it is.
So obviously, if for instance, I were to put my kids, or not me, but somebody were to put their kids in your school year-round, what are you saying?
What am I saying? I'm saying they get a phenomenal education, and the possibility that some harm would befall those children would be eliminated. And so, yes, I suppose that if they put their children, for instance, in our school, you would not be tempted to murder your children, and I'm not saying that you would. But let's say you wanted to murder your children, it would be less likely.
Less likely to murder the kids?
Because they're in a year-round school and they are not there underfoot.
All right. This sounds like it's the parents that got the problem.
Oh, they definitely have the problem. I'm trying to save the lives of children from being... I almost killed my own son by driving him off a cliff. So I can relate to this kind of pressure.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here with Pat. You're on the air. Go ahead, Pat.
Yes. This person... This schoolmaster here, anyone who would send their children to his school would have to be out of their minds. The man should be arrested.
Do you know anything about our school?
I know that I'm listening to you talking about you wanted to kill your son and you wanted to kill your daughter. I never heard of such nonsense.
I'm saying that in some families, I never did obviously kill my son or my daughter.
Of course not.
I'm saying in some families... It is understandable, what with children home for 3 months, the pressures that parents put themselves under, not the children doing it, but suddenly the parent, do you have children? Let's start at the beginning. Do you have children?
Yes. And I'm
Do you have them now, or are you a grandmother?
Excuse me, yes, I'm a grandmother.
All right. Didn't you ever get jealous of a child who brought home
a good... Never in a million years. I'm proud that my children have been educated.
You never
got jealous.
They're
doing much better than we ever did.
You never got jealous.
Why?
Because they're going to do better than you could ever do.
I raised them to be better than
let me ask her. Pat, this is Phil Hendry. Did you ever feel like your kids were taking you for a joyride if they were spending your money on tuition and not getting good grades?
Nobody's forced to do that. You do that because you want your children to have a good education. And I'll tell you one thing, they would never go to that gentleman's school, and
well,
I use the term loosely.
Excuse me, but you know nothing of our school. Nothing.
I know nothing about school?
You know nothing of our school. And you certainly can't make that comment.
I don't have to know anything about your school.
We were in the best of 300 as one of the top 300 private schools, K through 12, in America.
But listening to you mouth off about parents being jealous of their kids, 3 months of summer vacation isn't something that was just invented. It's been going on since the year one.
But suddenly they're getting jealous because things are better now.
No, I'm sorry. You're mistaken.
They know their kids are going to go to Mars and places like that that they've never been. And they get jealous.
And want to drive their kids off a cliff?
No way.
In my
case,
I was tempted.
This man is out of his mind.
Is the name Pat, correct?
Yes.
Do you know that your children could go to Mars or to some other planet?
Isn't that wonderful?
You'll never get to do that. That doesn't.
Do I care? Do I want to go to Mars? My God, I'm still on a rotary telephone here.
Well, I would suggest you get into the 20th century, and then
No. I think you need to learn a few things.
You've never wanted to go to Mars.
Why?
To travel to another planet.
Well, when you say going to Mars, Mr. Schwinn, are you talking about just
the natural progression of our society? Pat doesn't seem to want to be a part of that. And I'm saying that her children someday will go to Pluto.
No, you're wrong. I would be very happy if things got that far and my children could do that.
You never looked at your kid with his great grades, his hot girlfriend, his new bike, and then you looked at your own life.
I would never even consider thinking like...
And then you look at your own life and you're staring into a black hole and that didn't bother
you? No, I'm not. I'm not staring into a black hole.
You don't know this woman's life.
But compared to her children, you never thought about taking your belt and placing it around your kid's neck.
Never. We don't believe in hitting our
children.
I'm just
talking about thinking about it. I didn't say do it.
Well, this is the thing that I'm getting. You're saying that the fantasy of killing your kid exists because you're jealous of them, because you feel like...
No, he's out of his mind.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that it is normal.
Let's talk about a father who
actually... You think that's normal?
That's not normal.
These people that killed all these kids are normal?
No. I'm saying it's something that we're failing as parents when we want to kill our children. That's what I'm saying.
No kidding.
No way.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well, we are failing as parents if we're killing our kids. Yes, we're failing as parents.
Well, Pat doesn't agree with
that. I think they should put us away.
If you killed your children, would you feel you'd failed as a parent?
I wouldn't even consider killing a child, let alone my own.
But if you did, if, for instance, one day you put Drano in their pudding snacks, which my wife told me she thought about doing once, you wouldn't feel as if...
Your wife? You know, it's one thing for you to know your own impulses and have control over them. Your wife is fantasizing about putting Drano in their pudding snacks.
Somebody didn't think of it before, they will now.
That's the danger here, Mr. Schwinn.
Absolutely, that's the danger.
Well, what is your...
Thinking about killing your kids because they're smart?
I'm telling you that there is no coincidence with the fact that the children are now out of school and they're dropping like flies.
That's not because they're out of school.
Well,
this
then what
happened because these people are out of their minds.
It's coincidence. In other words, the school shootings, when did they take place? During the school year. Duh. The kids are at school. They're pissed off. They shot people.
Duh. How do they get out of their homes with guns?
That's the bigger question.
Where are their parents?
The parents, that's a good question. But we know where these parents are, don't we? They're at the other end of a can of Drano.
Well, right. They should be
okay.
In jail.
All right, Pat.
Then you do agree that they should go all night. No, Pat, then you do agree they should go to jail.
The parents.
Yes.
These people that have killed their children, yes.
75% of all child deaths by parents happen during the summer. We have to take a look at this. Put your children in Manor Academy year-round. Save the life of your child.
I want my children to go to school.
Put them in Manor
Academy.
9 months
out of the year, and the other 3 months they would be home with me. Now it's my grandchildren.
Home with you. So that you can just conveniently fool with the brakes on the car.
I couldn't. God, that's what you do.
That was your idea. I never fooled with the brakes.
No, but you had your hand on the handle of the
car. Not only that, you were going to jump out, let him go over by himself. That's great. You're a wonderful educator. I must say, I have gotten an education tonight.
Pat, thank you very much.
I think you misrepresented me.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Schwinn says that the kids are dying during the summer, being murdered by their parents because the parents think they're being taken for a joyride, paying all that tuition for bad grades. Phil Hendry Show, coming back.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Bill Hendry.
Mr. Hendry, you mentioned that one of your eldest had a little bit of a crush on the vacation.
Our eldest son met a girl on the ship and had a little bit of they had an infatuation.
Let me ask you, did that make you jealous?
Jealous of what?
That he is a young boy and the first blush of romance he's experiencing for the first time.
No, I thought, you know, isn't that cool? He's going through what I went through when I was 15, and I wasn't jealous of him, no. I mean, I guess...
Didn't it make you want to return to those days?
To be 15 again? Sure. I mean, it would be cool to be 15 again.
Well, this is one of the dynamics we're talking about. And what we are teaching a lot of our parents who are stressed out and feel violent toward their children, many men... What do they do when their own son is getting more ass than they are? And I'm using the crude appellation.
Yeah, your language is very crude.
I'm sorry, but I'm doing that for a purpose, to drive home the emotional aspect of this. How old were you before you got your first piece of ass?
I really would rather you not use language like that, okay?
How? Just go with me, Phil. How old were you when you got your first piece of ass?
I really would rather you not use language like that, and for an educator, it's unbelievable.
I'm trying to get to the emotion core. How old were you when you got your first piece of ass?
You love saying that word, don't you?
Will you answer me?
I was 19.
Jesus.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
A little old?
Isn't that a little old? That's how old I was. I don't care. I'm not being, I got nothing to prove to you.
All right. And here's your son, at the age of 15, getting more ass than a rental car. And you don't want to dispose of this lifeless body.
No, I don't. And I think it's a crying shame that you.
That I give you the truth.
That you give me the truth. That you think you're reading the psychology of parents.
Yes.
If my kid winds up having a sexual encounter with this girl that he met, I can only hope that he does what I asked him to do, which is A, condom, B, don't do it.
A, condom, and B, don't do it.
Yeah, those two things I told him. I said, don't do it, dude, not while you're young, but if you're gonna, put the rubber on. That's what I said, and there you go. Here is Barbara, or hold on, Barbara, for just a second. I got to go over here to David on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hey, what's up, man?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I want to tell this meathead on the phone, maybe if he'd have gotten
meathead.
A piece of ass before now, except maybe one that you blow up, he wouldn't be quite the way he is.
Well,
I was interested in having the Manson family homeschool my children that put him in your private school.
I beg your pardon?
You, sir, are an idiot.
I beg your pardon?
I would just as soon have the Manson family homeschool my kids as to let you look after them.
Well,
you, sir, are a complete idiot.
Well, it takes one to know one. You know?
Yeah. How many kids you got?
How many kids do you have?
I have three, sir.
Do you have three?
I have a five-year-old that's smarter than you.
Have they ever been to school?
I have a five-year-old smarter than you.
Do you plan on sending them to school?
Yes, I do, sir.
You do? Is the five-year-old in kindergarten?
Yes, she is.
All right.
She probably has a higher IQ.
And you're telling me they're not driving? You know, all of your insults, sir, are very boring. If we could stick to this, they're really boring.
Here you are asking somebody when he got his first piece of ass. What an idiot. For an educator to come across like that, you know, and you're sitting here talking about your daughter's grades being good enough that you want
to
whack her with a wrench or jump out of your car
because
your son was smarter than you are. You, sir, are a pathetic loser.
No, sir, I am saying this is
the dynamic. And I hope to God that somebody, wherever it is that you teach, maybe it's on Mars, you know, you talk about how much you want to go to Mars. My kid wouldn't go to Mars because he'd probably meet someone related to you.
Well, perhaps your kid won't go to Mars because he'll never be smart enough to be chosen.
Well, and if he was, he'd probably meet your mother because you are an idiot.
Oh, so now it's my mother.
Yes.
Your intellect stoops to the level of attacking my mother.
Your mother probably wanted to hit you with a monkey wrench.
This explains the increase in child murders during the summer because parents like you can't keep your hands off your kids.
If you came from my
all right,
loins,
both of you guys.
Do,
you know
punch the first your thing, mother.
You'd punch my mother.
Yes,
you know what?
If you came from my lawyer,
you know
there's
sir,
no way you came from me.
Well,
the
you know something? I did punch your mother because I'm your father.
All right, okay, stupid rednecks. Here is Barbara on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
I just want to put my two cents worth in. I've never called a radio show before, but
well,
I really have
me.
To respond to this man
because
I think he should see a doctor. I think the man is sick.
I've
I agree with
physical.
Everyone that he is certainly should not be in the educational field or anywhere near children.
May I ask you a question, madam?
Yes.
And I want you to understand I'm asking this to get the pure emotional response.
Yeah.
When was your first piece of ass?
Okay, that is uncalled for, especially to a lady.
You
all right?
are really sick. You should see a doctor. You are really
Madam,
sick.
I just
and you
got
know
a
what?
Physical.
I'd take my
I
wife
a,
with me if I were you.
I had
because
a,
you are not fit to be parents. You're a threat to your children. Anyone who is jealous of their children's success, you should
right.
be happy for
who,
them.
Who are these
house.
Parents that are yeah, who are these parents that are jealous? And you're talking about a kid.
I would ask this lady, but she'd probably hang up because I
no,
know what
I'm
her
not
problem
gonna...
is. Your daughter's breasts are bigger than yours, aren't they? You see, this is...
Why is it personal with you? Why is it sexual
are
with you?
Are you just on this program to instigate...
No, ma'am, I am telling you
because
as the headmaster
so,
of a school.
You know something?
As the headmaster
it's almost
of a school.
Like you are a joke.
Well,
you
no,
are not for real.
The
you're
joke.
You're really a joke.
So you think the murder of children is a joke? We've had five dead
I think
in Houston.
When you comment about the mother, the murder of your own children, then they,
you find
you're
that funny.
The joke.
I
you're
am
the
simply
joke.
Saying that I was tempted to push my son out of a moving car. Yes.
Well, that's sick. That is very sick, sir.
But you,
not, you don't have to be a psychiatrist to realize that's sick.
I can ask you, but you wouldn't answer my question. Are your daughter's breasts bigger than you?
Don't
that's
answer
none
that.
None of your business.
Don't answer that, Barbara.
That's none of your
none
business.
None of my business, and yet you say you are not jealous of your daughter. Even to the point where you
I'm
might
proud.
Give her...
I have two daughters, and I am very, very proud of them.
Even to the point
I'm
where...
proud to the point I'm sickening when I talk about them.
And when I am...
so proud.
And you wouldn't want to give one of them a tap with a crescent wrench?
Oh, my God. No, I guess I wouldn't. No. God.
So are you telling me that...
You know, I have never called a program before... But you are so infuriating and so...
You know, I was willing to go along with this, Mr. Schwinn, until this whole thing about when was your first piece of ass and all of this crudity.
I apologize to the lady, but I had to get to the emotional core of her response. I know a man who had his son circumcised multiple times because he felt the child would grow up to have a longer penis.
You're kidding me.
No.
What doctor would agree to do that, and is he still walking around free?
I don't know.
You know, I don't
did.
Believe this man.
This guy
real,
is a fruitcase. An utter, pathetic fruitcase.
So I guess I'm not going to get an answer to that breast question.
No, you're not.
No,
I won't let her.
Me,
I won't let the lady
none of your
answer.
Business. It's a stupid question.
I have been.
With.
I just want to know if there's jealousy.
She's already answered that.
What, would you let me speak with the woman, sir?
No, I'm not going to allow this lady to lower herself to answer your stupid question. She already answered the question. Is she proud of her children? She said many times, yes, she is.
So they're not like maybe a 38 double D?
Okay.
I'll tell you, it really is so unreal. I can't
Hello?
Help feeling that it's this has just been contrived.
Are you full of crap, Mr. Schwinn?
Am I full of crap? And you're the guy that didn't want me using ass.
Are you full of crap?
Five children were drowned by their mother in Houston. You find that funny? I don't.
I don't even know
All
how
right,
you can
Barbara.
Equate any of that
All right,
to what you're talking about.
Thank you for your call.
I'll bet you her daughter's breasts are perkier than hers.
And so, in other words, she's jealous of that, and she wants to kill her kid.
A little tap.
With a crescent wrench. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Wow,
Hi, everybody, from beautiful Dodger Stadium. This is our very special track and field meet. Today we feature a special exhibition track meet. And I'm Ross Porter.
I'm Rick Monty.
And today the highlight of our big track meet, a 100-yard, 100-meter dash, actually, Rick, featuring guys with pacemakers and bad hearts. I think it'd be a lot of fun to see if these guys can make it. As you know, Dick Cheney just had a heart attack, one of many. We spoke with him before today's race, and we wanted to ask Dick about what he felt about being in a 100-yard dash with a bum heart.
Well, I just think that it'll be a lot of fun. And I'm going to do everything that I can to do the best that I can in this race, although I don't see the sense of sticking me out there with a bad heart.
Well, there was just moments ago, and that was Dick Cheney. The guy's got a pacemaker, so we thought it'd be fun. We thought it'd be kind of wild, and we hope you agree with us to see if we couldn't collect some of the worst heart attack cases in all of the world and make them run 100 meters. And today, of course, the race will feature not only in lane one, Dick Cheney, just had a pacemaker put in with a long history of heart problems. In lane number two, David Letterman. He's got a bad ticker, and it runs in the family, if you'll pardon the pun.
That's pretty good, it runs in the family.
It does run in the family. In lane number three, Larry King. He's had about 9 heart attacks or whatever the hell, I don't know. Over there in lane four, Richard Pryor. He's in a wheelchair from MS, and he has a bad heart. So good luck to him.
Jesus.
In lane five, Regis Philbin. Of course, he had a couple of heart attacks back there. In lane six, another guy that had a heart attack, and he's going to be running in today's 100-meter race, Mike Ditka, and he's got a bad temper.
So the bad temper and the heart.
It could go out on him any minute. It's going to be fun. In lane seven, another football coach, Dan Reeves, coach of the Atlanta Falcons. He's doing all those commercials for Bear Aspirin. Yeah, rot's a ruck, pal. He had a heart attack. And in lane eight, after suffering a heart attack back in October, Henry Kissinger. So let's see how these guys do running a 100-meter dash.
And by the way, our broadcast today is being catered by one of the great local restaurants, Art's Meat Shed. Yes, we're here in the booth eating... We're here in the booth eating this gravy-laden steaks with buttery lobster, mashed potatoes with sour cream and butter, tall glasses of whole vitamin D milk.
And we also have buttered rolls, clam chowder, asparagus smothered in hollandaise sauce, and for dessert, a 7-layer German chocolate cake, coffee with a dollop of whipped cream and a shot of Bailey's.
So, that sounds pretty good. Let's watch this race, a 100-meter dash, while we shovel in hollandaise sauce of guys who've had a heart attack. And let's see. There they go. No, they don't. They all died. They're all,
Yeah, it looked like they all just collapsed.
You heard the starter pistol. And let's run that back so our fans can hear what we just said. They were all lined up.
They're bad off.
And now they're collapsed. Let's hear it again. And there they go. No, they're all dead. So there was our replay.
So apparently the gunshot...
I guess it just sort of shocked him.
Shocked the hell out of him, and, well, that's too bad. By the way, Candy Crowley had the starter pistol. Candy, of course, hasn't seen a box of C's that she didn't like.
Okay, Ross Porter just got shot. So anyway, folks, our big... that's the end of that. So all of them are dead. So by the way, David Letterman, even though he had a heart attack at the start of the race, he wins the 100-meter dash because he's taller than the rest of them and just collapsed further down the track. That's all I can tell you. This 100-meter race between guys who've had heart attacks has been brought to you by Marlboro Cigarettes, light up and drag deep, and by the Dairy Farmers Association of America, who reminds you that big bricks of cheddar cheese with a jar of mayonnaise make for a great snack, and by Barca Lounger. Why do any exercise when you can lay on your ass all day in a Barca Lounger? And by Krispy Kreme Donuts. No, they're not bad for you at all. Where'd you hear that? Thanks again. The winner, even though he's dead, David Letterman. Bye.
When I meet the great Mickey Mouse, it is like getting communion from the Pope.
Oh, and well, Mickey Mouse is a figure. I mean, that's Walt Disney's main character.
No, but he's a what?
Mickey Mouse is Walt Disney's main character,
But
and all the characters there at Disneyland are liked by children all over the world, adults too.
Right.
But I don't think anyone should go to extremes of bringing garlands there to hang around statues and stuff to that extreme.
You have never burned incense or anything like that?
Oh, I've never went that far. I'm not that crazy. I mean,
well, sir,
that's
the second time you've questioned my sanity. So I guess you're going to think this is crazy. Phil, in 1951, Walt Disney created... I don't even want to say it because...
Well, go ahead.
Walt Disney tried to help the health situation by creating the rubber. Now, the rubber was...
You mean the prophylactic?
That is correct, yes.
I don't, you know...
Okay, Ray. Now, you know, you sound like you might have been in the Navy.
No, I've never been in the Navy.
All right, well, you know how our boys... Do you know the disease? If it wasn't for Walt Disney getting hit on by all those women to the point where he had to create a rubber for himself, and now everybody uses it, see? Let me ask you something.
Well, I mean, I'm not disputing Walt Disney wasn't a smart man. Walt Disney's done a lot of stuff.
Have you ever brought a retard to Disney? Some people.
No, all right, the GD and all the retard, I don't want to hear it, okay?
Well, some people actually have the balls to bring one of these mongoloid kids up to Mr. Mouse and get a picture taken. No, I don't like that. Scares me.
What's wrong with a...
When I see the Mickey, I say, oh, Mickey, thank you. It's a great honor to be in your presence. I'm Vernon from Florida. Please cast your gaze upon me. But I never look the mouse in the eye, Ray, and so many people... Have you done that?
Yeah, I've been to the park.
No, but have you looked the mouse in the eye?
What is with this mouse?
What am I going to look at? Some outfit somebody's got on that's looking through the mouth? I mean, what do you mean look him in the eyes? You can't see the guy's eyes.
I'm asking you, have you ever had the disrespect to stare Mickey Mouse down?
I've had my children's photos made with all the characters, every one of them.
Is that what you're talking about, have the pictures?
No, I'm asking both you guys, have you ever had the brass balls to look Mickey Mouse in the eye? Ray, you first.
I haven't looked. I don't even understand where you're coming from.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying
you're taking this character business a little too far.
The rubber was modeled after Mickey. You know that the rubber that we wear, the condom we wear, was modeled after Mickey Mouse's nose.
I think you're just pulling everybody.
You know something?
Leg
I
now,
think.
Man.
Yeah. You know I what? Think, I think now you're full of crap,
Mr. Henry.
Yeah,
if you think
yeah,
I'm all right, if you
crap.
Think I'm full of crap, then you call this number. And I will give it on the air right now. We are talking about... It really makes me angry that one of the greatest institutions in the history of America is being disrespected.
I don't think Disney World's being disrespected
by anyone. Look at the profile
of people from all over the world to go to Disney World.
I'm going
to
ask you something.
Disney World, you see people from every Orient.
But they never introduce themselves to Mickey Mouse, and they never bring garlands of flowers for the statue. If you look at a profile shot of Mickey Mouse, a profile, a silhouette profile, okay? Tell me that doesn't look like a penis. And all
well,
I
see, you're the guy with the penis.
That close to
well,
my mind don't wander in them crazy places. But if you look at everybody that comes out of Disney Park with a Disney T-shirts on, Mickey
yeah,
Mouse T-shirts,
all right, there you go.
They buy all this stuff. I mean, you can't sit there and tell me that somebody disrespects these characters. That's nonsense.
All I'm asking either one of you gentlemen to do is take a Mickey Mouse T-shirt with his picture on it, turn it upside down, and if that doesn't look like two balls and a penis...
Okay, that's it.